Welcome to Torat Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. This is Amy Horowitz, and today we're studying Yeshayahu Perek Lamed Zayin. Perek Lamed Zayin describes the aftermath of Assyrian officer Rav Shakeh's threat to destroy Yerushalayim. This perek is, again, nearly identical to its counterpart in Melachim Bet. When Chizkiyahu HaMelech hears his officers report on their confrontation with Rav Shakeh, he follows their lead and tears his clothes. The Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin explains that even one who hears secondhand about someone cursing Hashem has to tear their clothing in distress. Rav Shakeh has debased Hashem and his power in the previous perek, declaring that not even Hashem could stand up to the mighty Assyrian Empire. This is what causes Chizkiyahu's distress, and he puts on sackcloth and runs to the Beit HaMikdash to daven for divine help. Chizkiyahu also dispatches his trusty officers to speak with Yeshayahu to tell him about the conversation with Rav Shakeh and to get his prophetic advice. The officers open their words to Yeshayahu with the introduction, Ko Amar Chizkiyahu, these are the words of Chizkiyahu. Abarbanel notes that Chizkiyahu omits his royal title, calling himself by just his first name and not calling himself Chizkiyahu HaMelech. This shows Chizkiyahu's humility, his acknowledgement that he needs Hashem and the Navi's help to prevent an Assyrian attack. Chizkiyahu's officers continue to convey the king's message to Yeshayahu. Yom tzara v'tochecha une'atza hayom hazeh, ki ba'u banim ad mashber v'koach ayin l'leida. This day is a day of distress, of rebuke, and of disgrace. The babies have reached the birthing stool, but the strength to give birth is lacking. Malbim understands this pasuk as a challenge to Yeshayahu. Earlier in the Sefer in Perek Yud, the Navi already prophesied that Assyria would fall on two conditions. One, that they cursed and degraded the name of Hashem, and two, that the period of darkness of Bnei Yisrael's eight Sarah was ready to come to an end. Based on this earlier nevuah, Chizkiyahu now tells Yeshayahu that today is the ultimate Yom Tzara, as the enemy has reached the gates of Yerushalayim, and it's a day of Tochecha, a day of argument on which the enemy has declared that God doesn't have the power to save his people. This means that the two conditions have been achieved. Yerushalayim is ready to be saved from an attack by Assyria. Chizkiyahu continues, Ki ba'u banim ad mashber. The people of Yerushalayim feel like a woman in labor, who's reached the final and most painful stages of labor and knows that this means that the relief of birth is coming. Chizkiyahu and his people know that the fear they feel right now is extremely intense, and although they know that this means redemption is imminent, v'koach ayin l'leida, they're worried that they won't have the strength to make it to the end, to give that final push, to endure that final burst of pain. Malbim suggests that the people of Yerushalayim are worried that the koach they're missing is the koach of mitzvot. They fear that they lack the merit they need for Hashem to step in and save the day. In response, Yeshayahu reassures Chizkiyahu, Al tira mipnei hadvarim asher shamata asher gidfu na'arei melech Ashur oti. Do not be frightened by the words of blasphemy against me that you've heard from the minions of the king of Assyria. Malbim explains Yeshayahu's words of encouragement as follows. Don't be afraid that you lack merit or that you don't deserve Hashem's help. Asher gidfu na'arei melech Ashur oti. Because, God says, the king of Assyria has degraded and spoken out against me, and so I'll punish him for my sake, even if you don't deserve it for yours. Yeshayahu then declares that God will send the king of Assyria back to his land, where he'll ultimately die by the sword. This may not be what Chizkiyahu was expecting. He feels the pressure of Sancheiriv's threat breathing down his neck, and he seems to be asking Hashem for immediate relief, for the immediate destruction of Sancheiriv and his army. Instead, God sends the Assyrian army into temporary retreat as they focus their military efforts elsewhere, on the nation of Cush, and promises Sancheiriv's death somewhere down the line. Malbim explains, God works in mysterious ways. We're only seeing one piece of the puzzle, Chizkiyahu's fear and his plea to be rescued, and we, like Chizkiyahu, are expecting God to rush in guns blazing and save the day. But God's plans are much more complex and sophisticated than ours. And in God's plans, everything happens in due time. Hashem needs Assyria to fight Cush and Mitzrayim to fulfill Yeshayahu's earlier prophecies about their downfall, and so Assyria can't be knocked out of the game just yet. When the time is right, God will exact justice on Sancheiriv and his army, killing the army in one night in a miraculous plague, as our perek will later describe. After his army falls, Sancheiriv runs from the camp all the way back to the Assyrian city of Nineveh. The last pasuk of our perek tells us that while Sancheiriv was praying to his god in his temple, his two sons entered and stabbed him to death with their swords. Yeshayahu's prophecy will come true, and God will, of course, save his people as promised. Chizkiyahu just has to be patient and trust in Hashem's plan. Meanwhile, Sanherib returns from fighting Cush and sends a message to King Chizkiyahu. Don't be misled by the false promises of your God to save Yerushalayim from my hands. Don't you think that all the other nations that I've conquered believed similar promises from their gods? And where are they now? This is, of course, a rhetorical question. Where those nations are now is scattered and dispersed. As we saw in the previous perek, Assyria was known to relocate their captives, erasing cultures and borders by moving people around and mixing up national or ethnic groups. If you were captured by Assyria, your former nationality was erased, and now you were simply Assyrian. This is what happened to the 10 tribes, what made them become lost tribes. Their culture, their heritage, their homeland just disappeared. It was completely erased. In an instant, they became Assyrian, absorbed into the folds of other cultures. Ve'ata tinatzel, asks Sanherib again rhetorically. You, Chizkiyahu, think your fate will be any different? Chizkiyahu reads this message and he runs to the Beit HaMikdash to daven. Abarbanel explains that in Chizkiyahu's tefillah, he offers God a whole list of different reasons to save the Jewish people from Assyria. Hashem Tzvakot, you, Hashem, are above the heavenly armies. Even if the stars have aligned in Sanherib's favor, you, Hashem, can ruin their plans and prevent Sanherib from destroying us. Elokei Yisrael, Hashem, you are the God of Israel. These are your people. It's your job to care about them and take care of them. Yoshev HaKruvim, your Shechina rests above the Kruvim atop the Aron in your holy place, the Beit HaMikdash. Are you going to let Sanherib come into your house and destroy it? Atahu HaElokim Levadcha Lechol Mamlechot Haaretz, Ata Asita Ata Shamayim VeEta Haaretz. Sanherib declared himself HaMelech HaGadol, the great king. But you, Hashem, are the greatest king, greater than any human ruler, because you created the entire universe. Are you going to let Sanherib think that he's more powerful than you? More than that, continues Chizkiyahu, you have the chance to show not only Sanherib but the whole world that you're the one true God. Sanherib destroyed all these other nations, venatonet Eloheihem ba'esh, kilo Elohim hema ki'im ma'asei adam, eitz va'even va'ya'abdum, and committed their gods to the flames and destroyed them, because they're not gods, but man's handiwork of wood and stone. So now, Labis Chizkiyahu, you have the chance to prove your godly power. If you save us and prevent Assyria from conquering us, ve'yedu kol mamlechot ha'aretz ki atah Hashem levadecha, everyone will know that you are unique, singular. As soon as Chizkiyahu finishes this tefillah, he receives a message from Yeshayahu with an answer from Hashem. Malbim explains Hashem's words. At mi cherafta v'gidafta, you picked the wrong guy to mess with, Sanherib. You mocked and scorned none other than Hashem. Ve'al mi harimot akol, not only did you mock Hashem, but you did so in a loud voice in public where everyone could hear you. This is a reference to the blasphemous statements about God made by Rav Shaked, the Assyrian general, in the previous perek. When Eliakim, Chizkiyahu's officer, asked Rav Shaked to speak more quietly, Rav Shaked only raised his voice even louder. Vatisa marom einecha, and while you were shouting out your insults to Hashem, you kept looking up towards the sky as if you were purposely trying to get Hashem's attention, hoping Hashem would hear you. Vatomer berov richbi ani aliti mirom harim. You said to yourself, with my numerous chariots, I'll climb the highest mountains, which Rashi suggests is a reference to Har Habayit. Yarkate Levanon. You thought, I'll conquer the farthest reaches of Lebanon. This, says Rashi, is a reference to the Beit HaMikdash, built from the beautiful wood of Lebanon's cedar and cypress trees. God continues, Halo shamata lemerachokota asiti mime kedem v'yitzartiha? Haven't you heard, Sanherib? I made my plans for you a long time ago. As long ago as Sheshet Yimei Breshit, says Rashi. This, of course, reminds Sanherib that God has been around since the beginning of time, a demonstration of God's superiority over the mortal king. Hashem continues, as if speaking to Sanherib himself, even your successes were part of my plan. I allowed you to conquer those nations because it was part of my plan. Of course, as human beings, we'll never really understand God's plans and why he does what he does. But the Malbim suggests that perhaps God wanted Sanherib to threaten the kingdom of Yehuda to attack its cities in order to make them stronger and more fortified. The cities that were attacked by Sanherib on his way to Yerushalayim, like the city of Lachish, will rebuild themselves into cities that are better and stronger. V'shivtecha v'tzeitcha uvoacha yadati. I know your comings and goings, says Hashem to Sanherib. I know your plans because they're really my plans. I'm in charge here. Ve'et hitragezcha elai, and I also know how you've raged against me, cursing my name and insulting my power. And for this, says Hashem, I will punish you. V'samti chachi ba'apecha umidgi bisvatecha. I'll place my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth. Malbim explains that not only is Hashem insulting Sancheiriv by comparing him here to an animal, but each of these threats serves a specific purpose. God will place his hook in Sancheiriv's nose and steer him by the nose away from Yerushalayim and back to his own land. With the bit in his mouth, Sancheiriv will no longer be able to speak his words of blasphemy against Hashem. And finally comes the part of the nevuah that Chizkiyahu HaMelech has been desperately waiting to hear. Lachein ko amar Hashem el melech Ashur, lo yavo el ha'ir hazot velo yoresham chetz, velo yukadmena magen velo yishpoch aleha solila. Assuredly, says Hashem concerning the king of Assyria, he will not enter the city. He will not shoot an arrow against it or advance upon it with a shield or pile up an embankment against it. Hashem assures Chizkiyahu that Sancheiriv will not conquer Yerushalayim, repeating his promise in the next pasuk, ve'el ha'ir hazot lo yavo, he will not even enter the city. This promise is especially important to Chizkiyahu because after battling Cush, Sancheiriv's army has returned to Malchut Yehuda and is once again camped outside the walls of Yerushalayim, threatening to enter and destroy the city. But as the psukim narrate, Hashem fulfills his promise immediately, sending an angel out to the Assyrian camp to strike the entire Assyrian army with a plague. It's at this point that Sancheiriv flees, running back to Nineveh for refuge from Hashem's punishment. But, as we know from the story of Yonah, who ran away from Nineveh in an attempt to flee from Hashem, you can't run away from God. As Yeshayahu predicted earlier in the Perek, God finds Sancheiriv in Nineveh and kills him by the sword of his two sons. Why would his two sons kill their own father? The Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin explains that, while kneeling in prayer in his temple, Sancheiriv was making a deal with his God. If you allow me to be successful in my campaign against the Jewish kingdom, I'll sacrifice my two sons to you. Rashi explains the deal a little differently. He says that Sancheiriv is worried that his own constituents will kill him because he brought their sons into battle against Malchut Yehuda, and every single one of them was killed by Hashem's plague. Now Sancheiriv bargains with his God. If you spare my life, if you don't allow my subjects to revolt against me, I'll sacrifice my two sons. According to Radak, when he sees his entire army struck dead by plague, Sancheiriv asks his advisors to explain to him what special merit the Jewish people have that God defended them in this miraculous way. His advisors respond that this was in the merit of Avraham's sacrifice of Yitzchak. Sancheiriv decides that he wants special protection too, and so he immediately vows to follow in Avraham's footsteps and sacrifice his two sons to his God. Whatever the deal, whatever the reason, it seems that Sancheiriv's sons heard his bargain, his vow, and therefore killed him, fulfilling Yeshayahu's prophecy and ensuring that Malchut Yehuda would be spared. The Chida, in his commentary on Tanakh, explains that Sancheiriv's death was meant to humiliate him and deny him the dignity of a hero's death. Had he died with his men in their army encampment, he would have been given the honor of a soldier. Instead, he suffered the indignity of dying at the hands of his own children. This is not only Hashem's final blow to the honor and dignity of the arrogant Assyrian conqueror, but the final blow to the power and success of the mighty Assyrian Empire. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef.